All right, take your seats, please. We're going to start the show. Sit down, please. Sit down. Hey, sit down.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sit down. Sit down.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You in the back, sit down. Sit
Whatever.
Down. Sit down. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit down.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Jules. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Man, you're looking good today. You know, hair has a lot to do with everything. Our bodies grow a lot of hair. But it's funny because we grow hair in the places we don't want hair in. Isn't life like that? You don't want something and then it comes. And then when you do want something, it doesn't come. It's like the irony of life. I'll give you an example. When you get older, you want more hair. You start losing your hair. Your hair starts thinning. It starts turning gray. It gets brittle. I mean, horrible things happen when you get older. But then you actually do grow more hair than usual, but not on your head, in your ears. What's up with that? Why do men all of a sudden at a certain age have hair growing out of their ears? It's so bizarre. It's like hair is saying, I'm going to fuck with you. I know you want me, so I'll start growing like crazy out of your ears. Who came up with this? Why would hair start coming out of your ears all of a sudden? But that's not the only place hair starts coming out of when you get older. All of a sudden, hair starts growing out of your nose. Oh my God, who wants that? No one wants hair growing out of their nose. Oh, you have beautiful, beautiful, manageable hair. Where? Coming out of your nose for some reason. But it's beautiful nose. It's beautiful. Do you style your hair? Do you put keratin in your nose hairs? It's lovely, lovely nose hairs. And your hair in your ears, it's so healthy. Oh my God, how does this happen? But yet on your head? No, we're done with the head. We're going to thin out. We're going to give you trouble. But I will give you a waterfall of hair coming out of your ears and your nose. Oh my God, why? What's going on? I think it's nature's cruel trick. I really do. I know I could make $1 billion if I invented hair. Now, there's all kinds of hair that you can put on your head. I've yet to see a toupee for a guy. A toupee, by the way, is a man's somewhat wig. It's a wig, but it's not a full head of hair wig. It's just like a little piece of hair to cover the area that men naturally go bald in. Most men will go bald on the top of their head and create this little ring of hair at the back of their head. It's a man thing. And Many women find it sexy. Other women, not so much. And I want to tell you, ladies, if you started losing your hair at a certain age and you had that this little bald spot in the middle, you'd be pretty pissed. You'd be pretty upset. But men, for some reason, oh, well, you should put up with that. It's natural. You should embrace your baldness. Yeah, you try that, ladies. You try embracing your baldness. See where that goes. Probably nowhere. So what I want to do is I want to invent a toupee for men. Something that men don't have to go through that loss of hair thing. You have no idea what men go through when they start losing hair and their hair starts turning. They go through horrible, you know, everybody wants to look good. Not only for other people, but for themselves as well. It makes you feel good. But there are things you can do to your hair. I put my nose hair in a ponytail. It's rather cool. It shows that I'm hip. You don't want to do an ear hair comb over to the top of your head. It's not attractive. It hides the top of your ear. It's just not good. It's just not good. This doesn't work. So what I want to do is invent something that men can wear that is totally undetectable. I think that would be wonderful. And I think women would love that too. So here's the deal. I do this every once in a while. I will invest in a really good invention idea that has been proven. I'm not a shark on Shark Tank, but I would be willing to invest in a business that will definitely become popular and famous and make me tons of money. See, I want to make tons of money doing nothing. I'm part of the I will do nothing for something generation. I don't know what you call that. It's not the Gen X, the octogenarian, the Generation P. I don't know what you call it. Baby boomers, baby boomers. I don't know what you call it. But I'm in the generation. I want to make a lot of money doing absolutely nothing. And I've been somewhat successful in that in my life. The make a lot of money part, not so much, but doing nothing, that's become my trademark. I need to trademark that thing. I want to have a website where I sell something, and yet I don't have to do anything about it. You know, I go to the mailbox and I get the check. No direct deposit for me. No, thank you. No, I don't do direct deposit. Oh, no, no. I don't want any of you fuckers touching my checking account. No, I am not giving that number out to anybody. No, no, that stays private. No, 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 no automatic withdrawals, no automatic deposits. I don't care. No one's touching my checking account. All $10 of it. No one's touching that thing. Some of my friends, well, quote-unquote friends, I have to use that air quote thing because friends, the term, I don't even know what friends means anymore. I like the television show Friends, but other than that, no. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. And by the way, congratulate me, have not been on Facebook now in 4 months. I'm getting close to half a year of not going on Facebook and not even caring. It has not affected my life negatively at all. As a matter of fact, I feel free for two reasons. One, Facebook isn't like constantly bombarding me with crap. I don't like to be bombarded with crap like I'm visiting a zoo and a monkey's flinging its feces at me. I don't like that. I don't care for that. So that makes me comfortable. And number two, I am free because I don't have to put up with problems from people I don't care about. It's so good. Oh, and on this GoFundMe, you're one word off with that fund thing. It's go something else yourself, because I'm telling you, I'm not interested. I'm sorry you're going through stuff, but why does everybody have to know about it? Ron, go to my Facebook page. I took a picture of the hamburger that I ate last night, and there's a bite out of it, but it was the greatest hamburger ever. Okay, how much do you not understand that I don't care about that? I so much don't care what you had for dinner last night nor do I need to have a picture of the hamburger that you thought was so wonderful. How does that affect my life? How could you possibly think that I would even care about that hamburger? I don't care if you eat it. I don't care if you don't eat it. I don't care about anything with that hamburger. Why would you take a picture of it and send it to me? What, are you trying to shove the hamburger in my face? Ron, I had a wonderful hamburger. What did you have? Ramen noodles? You know, don't shove it in my face. I remember a Facebook thing. It really annoyed me. Somebody took a picture of a sunset and sent it to all of their friends, quote-unquote, again, friends on Facebook, with the caption, "It's been a beautiful day," and there's a picture of a sunset. And I looked at this thing and I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What? I have to care that you had a nice day and you took a picture of a sunset? That's supposed to make me care about something? What are you doing? You don't think I have enough problems in my life with the people that I know and I am close to that I have to know about your every thought, your every move? Why don't you take a picture of yourself in the bathroom taking a piss? I mean, why do you think I wouldn't care about that? I deeply care about when you urinate. I don't need to know all the stuff about your lives, everybody. Oh my God. Facebook has turned us into bizarre social beings. So I am very happy that I don't have to look at pictures of your life. It's like going over to somebody's house and they sit you down and they say, "Thanks for coming over. Can I get you something to drink? Now I'm going to spend the next 3 hours showing you slides of my trip to Disney World." What? What? And now I have to be polite and I have to make it sound like I'm very interested in the pictures that you took in Disney World. Like no one's ever been to Disney World before and this is what it looks like. I mean, come on, man. I have to sit there for 3 hours and go, "Oh!" in such a phony way. I mean, you can do that to me if you want, but I will never go over to your house again, ever. I don't like to be put in uncomfortable situations like that to the point where I have to be phony for 3 hours. Oh! Ain't gonna happen. I'm gonna come up with some excuse. Like, "Oh my goodness, I have a stomach ache. I must go home now. You'll have to show the other 6,000 slides to some other poor slob that you get over to your house and you captivate them in front of your little TV showing them slides of something that you care absolutely nothing about whatsoever. Did you think that I could not live another minute without seeing a picture of the hamburger that you had last night? Did you think that that fulfills my life in every way, shape, and form?" So I am off of Facebook for 4 months. I still have the page, but I don't go to it. I don't know whether to follow, unfollow. I think that's all stalking. I don't know. I don't get the terminology. And then there's the little things at the bottom that you can like what somebody said. "Hey, I don't like anything you said, so, how about a little button that says, 'I don't give a shit'? How about that? Boy, that would be a popular little icon to click on." Hey, that's not a bad idea. "Hey, Ron, that's not a bad idea. Can you capitalize on that somehow, make some money?" No, I can't. I've always wanted to start my own Facebook page, my own Facebook company called Crotchbook, and it would be disgruntled people like me who are sick of things but are too lazy to go into it in any detail. Here's my Crotchbook page. These are all the things that bother me. You're in it. And there's no like button. There's only an "I don't give a shit" button. That's the only thing available. And that's Crotchbook. And we'll keep in touch. but not. The idea is not to have any friends. That's the goal. It's not to have 2,000 friends or 3,000 friends. No, the goal is to have no friends. That's crotch book. And if you post a picture of yourself, it must be blurred. You can't, because I don't care. Because I'm going to hit that icon thing that says I don't give a shit anyway. It's a good idea, isn't it? Isn't it a good idea? Do you want to start it with me? No? And then you don't think it's that. Fine. Forget it. Forget it. Just forget it.
A sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?
Seriously, if this guy was any cooler, he would be pronounced dead. He's Ron Van Dam, and this is The Ron Van Dam Show.
Let me just tell you about how this show is put together, and then you make believe you care. All the comedy, I mean, you know, the opening introductions and the comedy bits and the whole, that's John Shanahan, man. He's a brilliant writer, comedian. He does some brilliant stuff, and thank God he's on my side and not against me. And then there's Jason Shaw. Holy crap, man, what a talented guy this is. You're listening to his music right now. This is Jason Shaw. He also composed the opening theme for us. And so many of the other incidental music that you hear in this program, Jason Shaw, he's actually done this for us, and we appreciate it. He's quite an individual. And then there are other people involved, but not worth mentioning. Well, Nicole Reed is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. And Julie Cochran also lends her voice to the program. There you have it. There you go. You can hear the program every single weekday. We do a brand new episode. There's well over 1,000 of them, and they're housed on the Podbean Network. If you go to NewEnglandTalkRadio.com or NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, you will find, or RonVanDam.com, you will find the Podbean Network there, and you can listen to 1,000 episodes. They're all housed there. And we are, of course, on the Podbean Network. We're also on Spotify, and we're also on the Alexa Amazon thing, and we're also on SoundCloud, and we're also on TuneIn Radio and the iTunes thing and various other outlets that people don't really listen to that much anyway. And there you have it. So that's it. I'm trying to get it so that when you open the lid to your toilet bowl, the show starts. I'm working on that. Not hard, but I'm working on it. That's Jason Shaw, and hey, every once in a while we should take his music and make it well known. We're going to talk to our guest right after this word.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Hi Karen, how are you?
Hi, Ron. I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Karen Carbo joins us now. She's written a book called In Praise of Difficult Women, which, well, it's not what you think it is. Difficult women in a sense, wonderfully difficult to the point where they actually change society to some extent. Thanks for doing this, by the way.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Now, what prompted you to write a book like this?
You know, actually, the answer is very, very long, but I know we don't have hours, so I'll try and, make it short.
Okay.
I was called a difficult woman when I was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I had some behavior issues around moving on from painting to nap time.
All right.
My parents were called in, and my teacher said she insists on being difficult. So it's been something that's sort of, you know, been in my life my whole life.
Yes.
But I've also, you know, I've also been a huge fan of women's stories throughout that time as well. So this has been a very, very long time coming. I'm just very interested in, women who don't really believe the expectations of the culture are more important than what they know to be true about themselves. And, you know, this is fortunately, you know, for a writer, because it takes many years to write a book, you know, it's a perennial situation.
Yes. You chose 29 women who stood out for you that you pursued here. Why 29, and how did you go about choosing these women? In a capsule summary.
Yeah, right. We're laughing because you know it was a very long process.
Of course.
You know, these are women. You know, the bottom line, because I considered many women. Do I feel excited about writing about them? Because if I didn't, then it might just be a glorified Wikipedia entry.
Right.
You know, it had to be somebody that I felt, you know, excited to read about her life, excited to consider the ways in which she had, you know, sort of moved the culture forward, as you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And also I wanted there to be a component of diversity, not just of racial diversity and socioeconomic diversity, and you know it's somewhat international, but also a diversity of personality types.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted there to be extroverts and introverts, and makers and doers, and you know writers and thinkers, and you know a broad range.
When
so
you did that, yeah.
I was juggling several different requirements at once, obviously, but all of them had to really speak to me. That was sort of the bottom line. As for 29, I think it's, there was going to be a slot person, but the number 29, it just felt much sexier to me. Do you remember that there was a saying once, never trust anyone over 30? And thus the number 29.
Okay.
It was a very arbitrary choice, I guess,
yeah.
is the bottom line answer.
I suppose. I just think of something that's worth $30 and you go, okay, $29.99. But okay, this is a little different.
Right.
This is a little different.
Now you're on it.
Well, you can't. You know, 30 is okay. 30 is a round number. 29 is ooh, carefully selected. Yeah, so that sounds...
Well, you know, you're right. And 30 is also sort of the calendar day. It's
true.
Very symmetrical.
True, yeah, the woman
and
of the day.
And 29 is like not a... It's a prime number.
Yeah.
You know, good. So, it just was so... At 29, I was like, I'm done for this volume. I mean, it's all a meaty tome at, what is it, 350 pages. So,
cool. Your choice of words are in the title difficult. I find that interesting because, as I explained at the very beginning, I think you have to be a little difficult to move forward, to break from the pack. And society calls you difficult because you've broken away a little bit. And how dare you go outside that circle? Is that the way you interpret it?
That's exactly right. You could have just done this interview. Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm sure some of them, more than others, had personalities that could be trying.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's that you're not towing the line,
right.
You're not staying in your lane,
mm-hmm.
You are, you're rubbing up against the expectations of the culture, you're probably making the people around you sigh,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, say, what are we going to do with her? And that, you know, and you know, difficult, I don't think women sit there and say, oh, now I'm being difficult. Difficult is the label that comes from the outside. You
right.
know, when I said in kindergarten, my teacher said, now she insists on being difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sit there and say, oh, I want to finish my painting, therefore I'm going to be difficult.
Right.
You know, I
right.
just wanted to finish my painting.
Right.
So it's definitely a word that comes from the outside,
mm-hmm.
you know, and is slapped on people that,
yeah.
that you know. Dare to break the rules.
Well,
the subtitle.
So through history, of course, we've been celebrating men about their achievements, their accomplishments, how they've broken away from the pack, and all that. They weren't necessarily difficult. But now we're in an age of celebrating women, and thank God, and I'm glad you did this accordingly.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I think the thing is, and I'm not the first person to note this, but I don't, you know, I think one of the reasons we have celebrated men is because historically men really, for the most part, I mean, you know, we do have people like Marie Curie, but
right.
men for the most part have made the culture. Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
think there's any sort of hidden history of, like, you know, these army of women that have created the culture, but I think the time, we have moved into that time.
Correct.
You know, we have moved into that time now, you know, where 100 years from now, we will look back,
mm-hmm.
You know, at women now who are really sort of changing things and disrupting
yeah.
things. So I hope, you know, it seems like a lot of times it's one step forward and three steps back. So,
hey,
you know, we can hope
you know,
that this is what's happening. But I think, you know, my main goal,
mm-hmm.
Or my main hope, I guess it wasn't really my goal, but my main hope is that people, you know, we have hashtag Time's Up, but we have to really, you know, how do we go forward? We all still have to get up every morning and go to our jobs and so on and so forth. And I'm hoping, like, reading about these women, you know, will sort of provide a roadmap
sure.
and inspiration.
Sure, absolutely. We don't have time to talk about all 29. Actually, we've only got a couple of minutes here, but give me a little taste of two or three women that you chose.
You know, one of the ones that people are somewhat surprised about is Elizabeth Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Who was, to me, sort of one of the, you know, in the 20th century, she was the original grande dame of I don't care what people think,
mm-hmm.
Never complain, never explain. You know, and she also went on to be, of course, you know, in middle age, when she could have simply rested on her laurels, she went on to be, you know, one of the first famous spokesperson for finding a cure for AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
So she was difficult in several ways. Someone else is J.K. Rowling. I think, you know, her trajectory has been very, very interesting. You know,
mm-hmm.
we all know her as the you know, billionaire author of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Quite vocal on social media. And again, she could just rest on her laurels. She doesn't need to do this.
Right.
You know, she doesn't need to speak out this way. And you know, yet she feels compelled to do so. So, you know, and then there's women that are more introverted, like Amelia Earhart, who was obviously a great pioneer in aviation, but she was very sort of well-behaved and mannerly.
Mm-hmm.
But she just basically did exactly what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Fascinating.
So,
yeah.
She's not out there sort of, you know, on Twitter, not that there was Twitter, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, speaking her mind, but she just moved forward and did it and followed her passion and did exactly what she
mm-hmm.
wanted to do. So, you know, there, like I said, I, I strove to have there be sort of introverts and extroverts and you know, a huge range of personality types.
Well,
because women can be difficult in many ways, it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, all types, all backgrounds, all ages, it's all there. It's called In Praise of Difficult Women, and it's fascinating. It's also very, well, it's motivating as well, even if you're a man.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Available everywhere, I would assume. How do people follow you?
I'm at, my website is KarenCarbo.com. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as at Carbohemia, K-A-R-B-O-H-E-M-I-A, like the country.
Gotcha.
And I'm on Facebook, and you can find me there, too.
Fantastic. Great talking to you today.
Great. Thank you so much, Ron. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very, very nice. Thank you. Well, my name is Ron Van Dam, like the country, and that's it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, well, I'm going to wish you peace.